Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyanangana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurave Nama. So on this very wonderful day of Vaisak Purnima, so many wonderful things have happened, including it is the appearance day of Sri Sri Radha Raman Lalji Maharaj. It is also disappearance day of Parameswari Thakur Das, Parameswari Das Thakur, and the appearance day of Srinivas Acharya and appearance day of Madhavendra Puri. So many special things happen on this day. We have very limited time, so we'll only talk about few. But since the Lord also appeared on this day, we'll start with appearance of Lord Radha Raman Lalji Maharaj. Sri Sri Radha Raman Lalji Maharaj ki. In fact, from 9 o'clock onwards, for a very long time, more than 1,500 liters of milk will be used in the Abhishek. Just the milk alone, then yogurt and ghee and honey, then all types of special things, moti jal and ratna jal, jeweled water and pearl water and water from, you'll see them bring 7 clay pots with water from the 7 sacred rivers and water from coconut, so many, and sandalwood and a guru, they'll bathe, they'll have very special abhishekas there. But with 1,500 liters of milk, it takes a very long time. And if you stand there for the whole time, somehow get into the crowd and situate yourself and just stay there, and gradually somehow you'll move through the cloud closer and closer. And you just stare there at Radharaman. It goes on for quite some time, 2 or 3 hours. By the time it's over, if you stare at any blank wall, then you'll see the form of Radharaman coming in the wall in front of your eyes. Wherever you look, you just look and you just stare for 3 hours at this Abhishek. Very, very opulent Abhishek. And then afterwards you can go to your favorite Goswami's house and drink Panchamrit. Or every day we get Charnamrit, but today is Panchamrit. And you drink up until it's falling out of your ears. So we know that Radharaman is the deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was the son of Venkata Bhatta Goswami, who was the head priest of Sri Rangam Temple in South India, in Raghunath, Sri Rangam. And we know during Chaturmasya, which is just a little ways away, Chaturmasya will begin. Venkata Bhatta convinced Mahaprabhu to stay in his house for the 4 months of rainy season. So Gopal Bhatta, he got personal instruction from Sriman Mahaprabhu. How would you like VIHE course and your teacher is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this special VIHE class, special Bhakti Shastri class that Gopal Bhatta got. And when he left, Mahaprabhu ordered Gopal Bhatta, you stay here and serve your parents. He gave him a few orders. He said, you serve your parents until they leave this world, number one. Number two, they will attempt to get you married in so many ways, you resist all of their attempts to get you married. And number three, after they leave this world, you go to Vrindavan and join Rupa and Sanatan and all the other Goswamis. So he served his parents until they left this world. They tried in so many ways to make arrangement for his marriage, but he refused. And after they left this world, then he traveled here to Vrindavan to join Rupa, Sanatan, Ityadi, rest of the Goswamis. So he was staying just near, or probably that time it was Nidivan. Now it's outside Nidivan, but it must have been Nidivan. Underneath the tree he was staying, just near where the, you can see that place on the way to Gopalbhatta Goswami Samadhi. There's the Radharaman Prakatyastal. There's a little walled, gated off area there, and a little archway which marks the spot under the tree where Radharaman appeared. So Gopalbhatta was sitting there under that tree doing his bhajan, very, very austere. So meanwhile, Rupa and Sanatan, sometimes Mahaprabhu would send letter that you please come to Puri, and Rupa and Sanatan regularly would be going and coming from Vrindavan to Puri. But Gopalbhatta, he never got any invitation. One time he sent letter, when Mahaprabhu sent letter, those days there was no email. Letters went by hand to hand. Took weeks for letter to cross. Not like nowadays, in 1 second goes across the world, your email. So he put one letter in the hand of Rupa Goswami, or maybe it was Sanatan, I can't remember just now. Mahaprabhu read that letter. He gave Sanata Goswami a little wooden sitting place and a piece of his cloth. And he told, you tell Gopalbhatta that he should never leave Vrindavan, that these things, my sitting place, Chokhi, and this cloth are non-different from me. You should worship them as non-different from me. In fact, only 2 days in the year, after the Abhishek, if you stick around for the Rajbhog Artik, at that time you'll see the cloth of Mahaprabhu in that little sitting place. They've rubbed it with oil for 500 years now, so it's very shiny and black. Looks like you'll just see a big long black shila peeking out of some cloth on a little singhasan. But that's not stone, that's wood with so much, 500 years of oil rubbed on it. It's a very shiny black. It's, all the oil has seeped into the wood and made it very black. And you'll see one on the side of the altar, one frame with a cloth. This cloth has been 500 years inside this frame. And there's a big, with big chandan, they made a big Vaishnav tilak on top of it. You can barely see the cloth through the tilak. So other than those 4 months, he never got any other association with Mahaprabhu. When the news finally came that Mahaprabhu had left this world, Gopalbhatta was overcome with grief. And he could not do his bhajan. He was so overcome with grief, he couldn't properly do his bhajan. Everything in Vrindavan reminded him of Mahaprabhu. So though Mahaprabhu had told him he would never leave, now Mahaprabhu has left. So he left Vrindavan and decided to take a trip to Gandaki in the Himalayas, now in Nepal. That time was also part of Bharat. There's a village called Shala, because many shal trees grow there. This leaf plates that we eat off, this is made from shal leaves. And because in that village there's many shal trees, we know village means gram, so that village became known as Shala Gram. And the shilas found in the river there, in that village of Shalagram, because the village is called Shalagram, they're called Shalagram shilas. And they're considered non-different from Lord Vishnu, with all different various markings, and those who are expert, they can describe which expansion or avatar of the Lord. It's like yesterday we were bathing this Nisringashila along with the little deity of Lord Nisringadev, the wonderful Abhishek ceremony yesterday. So on the way, he passed through a village in the Himalayan foothills called Saharanpur, and there was one Mahesh Pandit who lived there. So he was taking a long journey. He thought, I need some assistant. He saw this Mahesh Pandit has a couple of sons. So he asked, one of the sons' name was Damodar. So he asked if Damodar could accompany him. So Mahesh thought, this is great, this is very great sadhu. My son will get a lot of nice saintly association, learn many things. So they traveled together to Gandaki Nadi, to that village of Shal. So then Gopal Bhatta went to take bath in the river. And he pushed his lota into the water, just into the water in the top, like that, to take some water to pour on him. But when he pulled his lota out, there were some shalagram shilas inside his lota. He just dipped into the top of the water, not to the bottom, but somehow these shalagram shilas had come into his lota. So he dumped them out, and second time he took some water, and again some shalagram shilas have come in his pot. He said, what is this? He again dumped them out. When third time he dipped his lota, and these shalagram shilas again appeared inside his pot, then he began to think, this must be something special. So he did not dump out those shilas. There was exactly 12 shilas. Among them there was one Damodar shila also, very special Damodar shila, with all the markings of Damodar. So he kept these shilas. On his way back down, he again passed through Saharanpur. And Damodar begged his father, please let me go with Gopal Bhatta up to Vrindavan. I want to stay with him and do bhajan. So he allowed his son to go. So he came here, and he was sitting under that tree, assisted by Damodar doing his bhajan. So one day, one very wealthy person came to Vrindavan, and he was going around and seeing the different deities and offering them crowns and jewelry and dresses and so many things. Because all the Goswamis, they had beautiful deities of Madan Mohan and Shyamasundar, Radha Govinda. So when he came to Gopal Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta was just worshipping shalagram shilas. I have no deity, I have no takarji for wearing dress or crown or jewels and things. And Gopal Bhatta felt very sad within his heart that he had to refuse this gentleman. All the other Goswamis are worshipping some nice deity, he only had these shalagram shilas. That day happened to be Nrisimha Chaturdasi, just like yesterday. So he began reading Srimad Bhagavatam, that part about Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, you'll notice that that part of Srimad Bhagavatam is not really about Lord Nrisimhadev. There's chapter and chapter and chapter about Prahlad Maharaj's activities. Then finally at the end, Lord Nrisimhadev appears, kills everybody, blesses Prahlad, and gives him some benediction. Bless. So actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is more the history of the devotees than that of Lord. In this particular portion, it mentions in Chaitanya Mangala, the Mahaprabhu, two things he used to listen to hundreds of times, was about Prahlad Maharaj and about Dhruva Maharaj. Generally, we only hear him hearing about intimate pastimes of gopis, but Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur mentions that Mahaprabhu 100 times he heard these two leelas, because it's very important for developing our connection that we are servant. We are meant to serve the Lord. Now we're thinking we're enjoyer, but we have to become servant. So he read these portions, and he was just keeping his shalagram shilas in a bag and tying that in that tree. I don't know if that's the original tree that's still there. It's the archway is underneath the tree, maybe the original tree. And he went to sleep with a prayer on his heart that, my dear Lord, you appeared from a stone pillar to bless your devotee Prahlad, so somehow or other you please bless me. He went to sleep with this prayer on his heart. In the morning when he woke up, he went to Jamuna, took his bath, he pulled his bag down, his bag felt very strange. There's a bunch of shilas, they will just sink to the bottom, but it seemed to have some shape inside. He said, what is this? When he opened the bag, this beautiful deity of Radha Ramanlal had appeared from that Damodar shila. I don't know, but I have heard from the Goswamis that in the very back of the deity you can still see that Shalagram shila from which Radharaman manifested. In fact, it's obvious that he was not carved by anyone, because if you get some very powerful, one year Mahanidhi Swami had some very powerful spyglasses, you can see every single toenail, every single fingernail, you can see every single toe ring of Radharaman. So tiny, delicate carving is there. The hole for his flute, anybody ever seen Radharaman holding a flute in his hands? It's always stuck in his sash. If you're very fortunate, you can see one time, a couple times a year, there's no set time, just somehow when someone's inspired, they put the flute in his hand. But because hole is so small, they're afraid that 500 years of putting and taking, it's so tiny, tiny fingers, who could carve such tiny fingers? Nobody could carve this. They're afraid someone accidentally may go like that and finger will break. So you will never see him holding flute. Very rare. If you're very fortunate, I've never seen it. All my 30 years, I've never seen Radharaman holding a flute. But I told that he does sometimes. The completely out of manifest deity of... And he was astonished. He called all the other Goswamis. Everyone came. They saw that he has the Kati style, waist of Madan Mohan, Vaksha style of Gopinath, and Mukachandra of Govindadev. All the three Thakurjis are within Radharaman. Very, very gorgeous deity. You can go there today and get his darshan. And because Prabhupada used to live just down the street at Bamsi Gopal temple, just a little ways past Gokulanandan around the corner, so he had old relation, good relation with all the Goswamis there, so I think they've picked up Prabhupada's preaching spirit. This is one of the first of Goswami temples that would allow photos. You can go there today and take video and photo to your heart's content of the Abhishek. So in this way, all the Goswamis came and they were very astonished seeing the beauty of Radharaman. Sri Radha Ramanlal Ji Maharaj Ki Jai. C.C. Gornitai ki jai. C.C. Krishna Baldao Dono Bhaiya ki jai. C.C. Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. We're just talking about appearance of the deity, and deities have appeared. So today also is the appearance day of Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya is very interesting, because there's no disappearance day for Srinivasacharya. None of the biographies, he was so dear to the Vaishnavas, they could not write about his disappearance. So we have no information of disappearance day, only we have appearance day of Srinivas. And Srinivas is very special because he's mentioned by Mahaprabhu before even his birth. Because just north of Mayapur, north of Katwa, there's one village called Chakandi. In the Chakandi village, there was one, previously he was known as Gangadhar Bhattacharya. That was his previous name. But one old sadhu lived in his village who was always chanting the glories of pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And he became great devotee of Mahaprabhu. Finally, one day he decided, I must get darshan. of this beautiful Nimai. At that time nobody called him Mahaprabhu, they called him Nimai. So Gangadhar Bhattacharya, he took blessings from his wife. Both of them were very sad because they had no children whatsoever, though they were very much desirous to have child. They had no children. But he took blessings from his wife and he started off going south to Mayapur. On the way he reached Katwa, which is just north of Mayapur. So he was even farther north than that. When he reached Katwa, he got the news that Nimai is there in Katwa. Anybody remember what Katwa is famous for? Sannyas. Nimai took sannyas in Katwa. So he heard this information. He said, I'm going all the way to Navadvip. Instead, Mahaprabhu has come here, my great fortune. But he couldn't believe his ears when he heard he's taking sannyas. He'd heard all the beautiful pastimes, the beautiful flowing black hair of Nimai, all the wonderful pastimes of Nimai. He said, how can he take sannyas? He rushed there to Keshav Bharati's ashram. He saw the barber was there. He's putting the scissors, then pulling back and crying. Everybody was crying. Whole village was there. Everybody was crying. He has so beautiful hair, so young. How he can take sannyas? 25 years old, how he can take sannyas? Every time he'd put those scissors, he would just start crying. Finally, Mahaprabhu forced his hand and his curly, beautiful, curly black, shining black locks fell to the ground. He felt like he was just being moved by Mahaprabhu's own hand. It wasn't his own doing, because he couldn't do it. But gradually they shaved off all of his... In fact, after shaving Mahaprabhu, he threw away his scissors and blade and vowed never to shave again, and he became a sweet maker, Mitaiwala. So then Keshav Bharati gave Mahaprabhu sannyas and gave him the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. As soon as Gangadhar Bhattacharya heard this name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, it spontaneously came from his lips, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna. He couldn't stop chanting. He thought, now I've seen Nimai, no use to go to Navadvip, I'll return home to Chakhandi. He returned home to Chakhandi. The whole way he was chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He got to his house, he fell on the floor and was rolling on the ground chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. His wife saw her husband like that, she grabbed his feet and she also began to roll on the floor chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This is ideal householder life. And because he was always saying Chaitanya, 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 he became known as Chaitanya Das. So finally they decided to go visit the Lord in Puri, because they heard that Lord has taken sannyas, now he's going to Puri. So when they came to Puri, Mahaprabhu was very pleased. And he told Gangadhar, do you please go and take darshan of the Lord? They took darshan from the Lord. When he returned, Mahaprabhu told one of his associates, though he's not told me, before Jagannath, he has revealed his desire to have a son. Because I'm not different from Lord Jagannath, I know his prayer. So you tell him he will get a very special son, his name will be Srinivas, and he will later take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We just talked about Gopal Bhatta, again he's coming. And so it came to pass when Gangadhar returned to Chakhandi after some time, they conceived child, and on this Vaisakh Purnima day, that beautiful child was born. Her father was a great Balaram Bipra, great astrologer. He did the chart. He said, this person will be a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the stars are in so auspicious place. In fact, And many of, I think in Bhakti Ratnakar, it describes how he's Gaura Shakti, the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own energy. He's an incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love for Krishna. Gaura Shakti. So he raised him with great care and love and devotion. They sent him to school, but his teacher felt that I have nothing to teach him, I have to learn from him. Somehow by grace of Goddess Saraswati, he knows everything already within his heart. So when he became a young man, he again decided to go. He decided he wanted to take darshan of Sriman Mahaprabhu. But on the way to Puri, he heard that Mahaprabhu has already left this world. He got to Puri, he was very distressed. But Gadadhar Pandit took him under his wing and told him, Mahaprabhu told me that you're coming. You see, he's a very special devotee, always mentioned by Mahaprabhu. Even he gave the name, he told Gadadhar he's coming. You must teach him Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Gadadhar began crying. But I cannot teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, why is that? Because that same Bhagavatam that Mahaprabhu and I used to read and cry, all the letters have been ruined by our tears. And he showed him those times there was no BBT. You just print 1,000 books like this. It was all handwritten on palm leaf. And all the ink is spoiled by the tears. So first of all, he couldn't get darshan of Mahaprabhu. Now Mahaprabhu's left order, Gadadhar Pandit should teach him Srimad Bhagavatam, but now the Bhagavatam is ruined. And not like you go to the bookstore and buy it. There's no such thing as bookstore those days. So Narahari Sarkar sent message that in a village in Bengal, nearby, there's a copy of Srimad Bhagavat that's available. So very enthusiastically, Srinivas set off for that village. And he procured that copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. But when he reached Puri, because Gadadhar Pandit said, don't take a long time because now I'm feeling the pain of separation from my Prabhu. I don't know how long I'll stay in this world. When he reached Puri, he had the Bhagavatam, but now Gadadhar Pandit is left. So he is frustrated at every step. He went to take darshan of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu left. He was supposed to learn from Gadadhar Pandit, but Bhagavatam is ruined. He got a new Bhagavatam. Now Gadadhar Pandit is gone. But anyway, one of his original instructing spiritual master was Narahari Sarkar. Narahari Sarkar trained him. But while before he left Puri, he visited all the remaining associates. They all blessed him. He visited all the remaining associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and got their blessings. So then, after training from Narahari Sarkar, they sent message that he should come to Vrindavan and study with Rupa and Sanatan. So he got this order. But on the way, he decided to see Navadvip. Instead of going straight to Vrindavan, like he was supposed to, he went to see Navadvip. And there he met all the associates that were still in this world, Advaitacharya's son, Achyuta, and so many wonderful associates. He met Vishnupriya, who also warned him, don't stay here too long, you must go immediately to Vrindavan. But he was relishing seeing all the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip. Then he started to Vrindavan. When he reached Prayag, he met Chandrasekhar. There he learned that Sanata Goswami has already left this world. When he reached Mathura, He got the news that Rupa Goswami 3 days before has left this world. So every step of his journey is frustrated. He was ready to give up his life, but Rupa and Sanatan appeared in a dream and told him, no, you go to Vrindavan, take shelter of Sri Jiva Goswami. He will train you. So somehow, calming himself, he went to Vrindavan and came and began to dance and chant in the Govindadev temple. It must have been under construction because he was still a young person at this time. And immediately Jiva Goswami came there and was very immediately recognized, this must be Srinivas. No one else has such ecstatic love for Krishna like him. And he began to train him. And then he introduced him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami revealed to him that his eternal form is Mani Manjari, servant of Guna Manjari, was none other than Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So he began to meditate on his eternal form. Gradually they were joined by Narottam and Shyamananda Prabhu. And then meanwhile Goswamis, they were developing the philosophy and theology of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Bengal, but there was no email, no internet, no way to transmit, not even printing press was there, what to speak of all these things. So they gathered up all the Goswami books, and this is the first traveling Sankirtan party. Those who were going on traveling Sankirtan, you're following in the footsteps of the Goswamis. Just like in West, we take, or even here, we take a bus and we take out all the seats, build some compartments to keep all the books, put in a stove for cooking. And so same way, Jiva Goswami had some businessmen from Mathura make a special Sankirtan van. Special, very strong cart for carrying these books very carefully. And the books were carefully wrapped in cloth, put inside a very strong box, again wrapped in cloth and again locked. So then Srinivas, Narottam and Shyamananda, they headed east for Bengal to bring the works of the Goswamis so that people could be trained. Otherwise everybody was just going to degenerate into sahajiyas without any philosophy. On the way, they passed through a village of kingdom called Vanavishnupur. Now the king of this place, his name was not just Beer, but Beer Humbeer. Beer already means strong. But Beer Hum, I'm great. Beer Humbeer, Raja Beer Humbeer. So he was thinking himself very great. He was nothing but a dacoit king. He had so many thieves in his employment, killing and robbing the pilgrims on the wayfarers on the roads and bringing all their loot to fill up the king's coffers. And the king's astrologers were always very anxious to tell him because they would get nice reward. So they told, there's immeasurable wealth coming from the West, beyond gold and most valuable jewels, most valuable wealth, unlimited wealth is coming. So he sent the word to his dacoits, and they were watching the party, waiting for the... At one point they were going to attack, but then somehow the circumstances didn't arise. They got to a beautiful lake and they camped. It was a moonless night. Only the stars were the witness of the theft the Goswami literature. Everybody was, for such a long journey, everybody was sound asleep. We can't imagine how they felt in the morning when they woke up and saw all the books have been stolen. Can you imagine? We can't even begin to imagine what they felt. Everybody was crying and crying. They sent a letter to Jiva Goswami explaining what happened, and Srinivas told Narottam and Shyamananda, you continue on, I will stay here and try to find these books, who has stolen these books. So he stayed in that Vanavishnupur, and he made friends with local residents, especially one Krishna Ballabh Pandit, who took him one day to the king's Bhagavatam class by the king's pandit. And Srinivas listened for a couple of weeks to his pure speculations. Finally, he could no longer tolerate. He said, "What nonsense are you speaking?" And he became very angry. He said, "Who are you? Newcomer here. Nobody can speak about Bhagavatam. So you're not ignoring completely Sridhar Swami, the original commentary. You don't have any idea." So though the pandit was very angry, the king was very interested. "All right, you speak." And Srinivas began to speak according to the Goswamis, according to Sridhar Swami. Everybody was struck with wonder. Even the court pandit, although he was defeated, he felt very happy hearing the commentaries of... And Srinivas began commentating every day. So the king gave him special residence just next to his own. And he offered him a nice feast. He said, "No, I only eat once a day. I've already eaten." He said, "At least take some fruit." So he didn't want to disturb his relation with the king, so he took some fruits. And late into the night, because the wall, only a wall was separating it here, Srinivas chanting the Lord's name. He said, "This is a real saint." Very happily he went to sleep listening to Srinivas chanting the Lord's names. The king went to sleep. After some days, the king said, "I am your servant. Whatever you want, I will give you." He said, "I don't want anything." Oh, first we forgot. The robbers, they brought that trunk. And the king, he couldn't wait to open it up. He opened it up and said nothing was there but books. Palm leaf books. He was astonished. He pulled out the first batch. He saw the name of Rupa Goswami. He saw the beautiful pearl-like strings of words of Rupa Goswami, letters of Rupa Goswami. It's like pearls, strings of pearls is described. He began reading. His heart had a change. He said, "What great sin I have done." He passed it all up. He said, "Now what am I going to do? How will I become free from this sin?" Though he committed so many sins, now he was feeling, after touching the books of the Goswamis, he was feeling he was a sinful person. So then, that day came that he said, "I am your servant, whatever you want I will give you." He said, "I only want one thing. My friends and I, we were carrying some books and they were stolen in your kingdom." "Oh, I am a worm in stool. I am the one, those were my men. I will go to hell forever. How can I get free from this sin?" When Srinivas was overjoyed hearing that the king had the books, he said, "You don't worry about a thing. Just by having those books, all your sins have been already eradicated. You don't worry about a thing." And so the king, he became the disciple of, he gave the books to Srinivas and he became his disciple Chaitanya Das. Actually, his name was Krishna Bala, but Jiva Goswami changed it to Chaitanya Das. So he stayed there in the kingdom for some time, but then he had his mission to deliver the books, so he went on to his village, Jajigram, where his mother was just about to leave this world, and Nahari Sarkar said, "Your mother, she has only one desire in her heart. Now she's leaving this world. You please fill her desire before she leaves this world. You get married." So Srinivas was married at this time. And he sent letters to everyone that the books are safe. Then again he traveled to Vrindavan to continue his studies. He met Shamananda there. They became very good friends. It's also, some people say it was there in Jajigram he met Ramachandra Kaviraj. Some say it was in Vrindavan. Anyway, Ramachandra Kaviraj came with him to Vrindavan. They became the best of... He was a disciple, but they were best of friends. They said Ramachandra Kaviraj was one eye and one arm of Srinivas. After staying for some Vrindavan for some time, he returned to Vishnupur. We can imagine that the happiness of the king to see his guru has come. His wives also had become initiated, the whole kingdom. In fact, this was the one place in Puri. Prataprudra Maharaj was there, so the Vaishnav culture flourished under him. Here the Rajasthani kings, especially Jaipur and Amber, the Gaudiya Vaishnav culture flourished under them. But in Bengal, the home of Gaudiya Vaishnava, all the kings were Muslims. They were persecuted. This is the only place, Vanu Vishnupur, where the king himself became a Vaishnava And he made a rule, if you want to stay in my kingdom, you must be a Vaishnava. Otherwise, you hear some money, you go to some other kingdom. One of the very few, the architecture, the culture, the singing, the literature, everything flourished. There's only one place in all of Bengal, which is the home of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where it flourished and was prospered and was nourished. So Visvana Vishnupur is a very special place. So one day, Srinivas, he was sitting in meditation. In his meditation, Radharani had come to the Jamuna and playing with all her friends there, splashing in the water and taking their bath. And while she was splashing and playing, her nose ring slipped and fell into the water. This was noticed by Rupa Manjari, who told Guna Manjari, please find it. And Guna Manjari told Mani Manjari, you try to find. They were searching and searching, but they could not find it. Finally, Radharani's bath was coming to an end. Meanwhile, in the real world, because they're on a different time in Golok and a different time here, 3 days had gone by while this Leela was going on. And Srinivas was just sitting. His wives were crying. The king was crying. Everybody was crying. Maybe he's dead. The physicians, they checked him. No, he's still very much alive. How long will he last without food? So then the king said, the only one who understands his heart is Ramachandra Kaviraj. You bring him. Ramachandra Kaviraj sat down in meditation. Then he also entered, because he's so close to Srinivas, he entered into the meditation. And Mani Manjari told him that this ring is missing, and immediately he dove into the water, and underneath the lotus leaf he found that ring. He gave it to Mani Manjari, who gave it to Guna Manjari. They were just dressing Radharani. It was just time to put the nose ring, and they immediately brought the nose ring and placed it in her nose. At that point, both of their meditations broke, and they woke up in this world, in the king's court. And Ramachandra Kaviraj and Srinivas, they embraced each other and rolled on the ground in ecstasy. And then they told everything about what had happened. Everybody was amazed that they had gone to the spiritual world and come back. But all these types of amazing things were always happening. With one time in his meditation, Srinivas made a beautiful garland for Sriman Mahaprabhu and offered it to him personally. Mahaprabhu began to dance with that garland swaying on his neck. Jalamala, jalamala, jalamala kore. Just dancing. Then suddenly Mahaprabhu took that garland and he placed it on Srinivas's neck. When Srinivas saw this garland has come, his meditation broke. He woke up in this world and that garland had followed him from the spiritual world to this world. Like this time, many, many pastimes are there of Srinivas going from this world to that world. So these are some of the pastimes of Srinivas Acharya. We don't have much time to talk about Madhavendra Puri, but mostly because we're living here in Vrindavan, we know Madhavendra Puri. Srinivas Acharya ki! And again, there's no mention anywhere in any history of his disappearance. The devotees, he was too dear to the devotees for them to write about his disappearance. So we don't have disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya. But one of his best things that he wrote was, of course, was Sad Goswami Astakam, which we love to sing. If we would have had time, we would have sung today. The Madhavendra Puri is the first in our line of spiritual masters to manifest Krishna Prem. He's the root of the tree of Krishna Prem. He's actually Kalpavriksha. At one point he came here to Braj, at one point he was wandering around Govardhan Hill, and Madhavendra Puri was very renounced. He had such a rule that he never begged anything for anyone. If somebody offered him something to eat, he ate. If they didn't offer, he didn't eat. Not like us. It's 3:10, we're saying, what kind of management is prasad supposed to be at 3 o'clock? Why is it 3:15? What kind of management is this? Not like us. So after circumambulating Govardhan Hill, he came to Govindakund and sat down underneath the Kadamba tree and began to chant. And he never begged anything from anyone. Suddenly a little cowherd boy appeared and said, "What is your meditation? Where have you come from? And why are you fasting?" And Madhavendra Puri stopped his meditation and he said, "Who are you? How did you know I was fasting?" He said, "I'm from this village. In my village, nobody fasts. Everyone begs from another. If he has nothing to eat, he begs from another. Nobody fasts in my village." The gopis who were milking the cows saw you sitting here, so they gave me this milk to bring to you. Now I have to go milk my cows. You take this milk and I'll return and take the pot. And Madhavendra Puri was amazed at the beauty of this boy. And he kept looking down the path after that boy had left. Then he offered that milk to Krishna and he tasted it. He never tasted such milk without any jaggery, without any honey. So sweet. He never tasted milk like this. He began waiting for that boy to return. He was so attractive, that young boy. And he never returned. He said, chanting and chanting, he was so excited by drinking this milk, he couldn't sleep, but late in the night, he dozed off. In his dream, he saw that boy, "Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri." He took Madhavendra Puri by the hand, "I'm here in the bushes. The Muslim soldiers attacked and the pujari threw me in this bush and ran away and never returned and I'm suffering. You bring everyone to get me out. I'm in heat and wind and rain and scorching heat and freezing cold. I'm suffering here." So when that cowherd boy took him to that place and showed him the place, then his dream broke. For a while he lamented that his Lord had appeared before him, but he could not recognize him. Then he steadied himself, "But I have the order of Gopal. Because that little boy told, my name is Gopal, I'm the owner of this village." So he went to get all the villagers. The owner of this village, Govardhanadhari, is staying in the bushes. Bring your cutting instruments and other things. The bush is very thick. So he went to that place that he saw in the dream and they cut through all the brambles and brush and bushes and everything and they found this beautiful deity of Gopal. And that in the dream he had told him, "You get me on top of the hill and install me there." So he took the deity on top of the hill. They put a big stone, put him on top of that stone. They leaned up another stone behind him like that, leaned him up against the stone. Meanwhile, everyone in the village heard that Gopal has appeared. So they brought their hundreds and hundreds of pots of water from Govindakund, which they strained, and then they began this beautiful abhishek with milk and ghee and panchagavya. Panchagavya means five things from the cow: urine, cow dung, ghee, milk. What's the other one? Yogurt. And panchamrit. Honey, sugar cane juice, ghee, milk and yogurt. The two are panchamrit and panchagavya. And with hundreds and hundreds of pots of water, they bathed the beautiful, all the dust and dirt was washed away. And then immediately somebody brought new dhoti and they made it, fashioned some type of outfit. Somebody brought a crown like this. All the village Brahmins, when they heard that Gopal has appeared, immediately all the villagers brought their stock of grain, and all the big fat Brahmins, they began to cook tons and tons of prasad. They put beautiful cloths all over the top of the hill and they prepared chappan bhog, 56 preparations. Ever wonder why 56? Because Krishna was holding the hill for 7 days, so he missed 8 offerings. 8 times 7 is 56. He missed 8 offerings a day, so at the end they did chappan bhog. So and huge feast, mountains of rice and so many pots of curry and so many pots of sweet rice and so many wonderful things they offered, covered up the whole top of the hill. And Madhavendra Puri offered it. And then there was a beautiful artik ceremony. Then the prasad was distributed to everybody. First all the Brahmins were fed, then everybody down to the... said even the birds, bees and insects were fed. In Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, gradually everyone heard about the appearance of Gopal. So another village came, said, we want to do Chappan Bhog. Then everybody was lining up. Just like in this hot season, if you go to Banki Bihari, there's big long list, waiting list, for somebody to offer flower pool bangala. Like that, there was big waiting list for each village to offer Chappan Bhog. Every village, they would bring their Brahmins and all their ghee and grains, and they make Chappan Bhog. This went on for many, many days. Chappan Bhog, Chappan Bhog, Chappan Bhog. Finally, the wealthy merchants of Mathura heard about the appearance of Gopal. They came and they built a temporary temple. Then they built a more permanent type of temple. They built boundary walls. Because first they just put some chitai mats around the deity and put him, by meditation, put him to rest. But gradually they built a beautiful temple on top of the hill. This went on for like 2 years. Then the deity came in a dream to Madhavendra Puri that still the heat is not decreased. You must bring chandan from the Malayan hills. You must go to Jagannath Puri and acquire that chandan. So it wasn't that you just jumped, took the next flight on Jet Airways. You had to go by foot. So that time two Bengali Brahmins came and Madhavendra Puri trained them up and made sure that the bhog offering and everything would go on and seva would go on. He gave the service over to these two Bengali Brahmins. Then Madhavendra Puri went on with great difficulty, traveling by foot all the way to Puri. On the way he passed through Ramuna. In Ramuna there's a very beautiful deity of Gopinath. His name at that time was just plain ordinary Gopinath. So Madhavendra Puri saw the beautiful form of the deity. He was dancing in ecstasy. Then he asked one of the local priests, what do they offer to Gopal, to Gopinath, thinking that I will offer the same thing to my Gopinath. But somehow in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they still haven't edited it out, sheer means milk, not sweet rice. Kheer is sweet rice, sheer is milk. Because if you go there to Ramuna, you'll find there's not one speck of rice in it's cooked down milk, condensed milk with jaggery and all kinds of nice things, but not one speck of rice. But still in our Chaitanya Charitamrita it says sweet rice, but no sweet rice at all whatsoever. Sheer, Amrita Keli it's called. If you go there, you can get, you have to come in the afternoon. The Rajbhog they don't offer, in the afternoon they offer, then you can buy these big cups and small pots and little pots and big pots and whatever you can afford, you can buy to your heart's desire till it's finished off. Amrita Keli, sweetened condensed milk. Not at all sweet rice. So he was thinking, in the fact that Pandit told him that just now they're making the offering. So then Madhavendra Puri went to the temple. He thought, alright, I will wait till after the offering, then I will... If without asking somebody offers me some, because that was his vow, he never offered. If somebody offers me some, I will get a taste and I will try to make something like this for my Gopal. Then immediately he thought, the offering hasn't even been made already, I want to taste it, I'm an offender. So he saw the artik and then quietly without saying anyone, he left the temple. It was evening time, so he went to the marketplace which was deserted and he found some place under a tree and sat down to do his bhajan. Meanwhile, the pujari put the Lord to rest. He went himself to take rest and the Lord came in a dream. He said, oh pujari, my great devotee Madhavendra Puri has come. I stole one pot of Amrita Keli for him. By my tricks you did not see it, but it is hiding behind my cloth. You please open the temple and get that and go to the marketplace and give it to Madhavendra Puri. Pujari got such a dream. He took bath. Then he went and he opened the door and sure enough behind Gopinath's skirt there was a pot of Amrita Keli that had been hidden by the tricks of Gopinath. So immediately mopped up the, cleaned up the place where the pot had been staying, and he again put the Didi to rest and closed the door. Then he ran to the marketplace. Oh, Madhavendapuri, will the sannyasi named Madhavendapuri please identify himself? The Lord has stolen pot of Amritakeli for you. Oh, who is Madhavendapuri? You are the most fortunate for hearing his name. Madhavendapuri said, I'm Madhavendapuri. And the priest fell flat on the ground before him. For you, the Lord has stolen a pot of Amritakeli. Cheer, no one has ever so fortunate as you. And when he heard the whole story, Madhavendapuri was struck with wonder. He took that sweet rice, excuse me, and I'm saying it. He took that cheer mixed with his tears, cheer with tears, ecstatic tears, cheer with tears, tears of ecstasy. In fact, when he finished, he broke that pot and kept it in his cloth, all the pieces, and every day he would just chew on a piece and that taste would come, and shivering would come on his body, tears would come in his eyes. Then he thought, in the morning when all the village hears about this pastime, everyone will come to bother me, because he was not after name and fame. Ordinarily, we're very after nice name and fame. So, after class and everyone, oh, Dean Bandhu, you gave such a nice class. Oh, I'm very happy. But Madhavendapuri wasn't like that. He didn't want any name and fame. He immediately thought, before the day broke, he immediately packed his things, not like you with two Samsonite suitcases. Lota or Kambal, Sadhu Kasambal. And he headed on his way to Puri. In the morning, no one could find that sannyasi named Madhavendapuri. But when he reached Puri, the news had already reached Puri that the Lord has stolen him. From that day, he became known as Shir Tor Gopinath. One of the few places in Orissa where they're very happy to see foreign Vaishnavas. Everywhere else, they said, no, you can't come in. If they're very happy you come. They do the Didi worship with the curtain just half open. You can watch the whole thing, how they do all the Didi, do the bathing and put the cloth. Very interesting how they don't have it. It's no sewn cloth. Just they wrap it in such a way it becomes kurta and dhoti and everything all in a very special way. You have to watch and see. I can't explain. But no sewn, just two pieces of straight cloth. Nothing stitched. No sleeves, no legs, just... They wrap it around his arms in such a way it looks like kurta and dhoti, and they fold it all up. Little dhoti is there. Very expert. You can watch very wonderful japa meditation there and chant japa and watch them do the puja of Shri Tor Gopinath. So then finally he got... When he reached the king already knew about him. He immediately gave him the chandan and camphor and gave him all the papers, because when you cross from one, that time there wasn't one, just one country. It was many different kingdoms. When you cross one kingdom to the next, they always wanted tax. But he gave all the papers and everything. When he reached back to Ramuna, again Gopal came in a dream and said, there's no difference between me and Gopinath. Why should take so much trouble to walk with all this chandan? Thieves are there, the border guards will harass you. You get that chandan ground and offered to myself in the form of Gopinath, and I will accept it in my form as Gopal. So for this chandan yatra goes on for 21 days, so this is how this chandan yatra comes. This is the glories, and just not far from Ramuna, Shri Tor Gopinath temple is a Samadhi Mandir of Madhavendapuri. Very beautiful place underneath a huge, enormous banyan tree. I was there when you were watching the Artik. Enormous banyan tree is there, so many roots hanging down. And half the sky there were stars. Underneath the banyan tree there were so many fireflies. Blink, 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 blink. Other half the sky was stars. Other half the sky was lightning, was clouds, with lightning and rain. Somewhere it was raining. So Artik is going on and this whole scene is there. The fireflies are blink, 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 blink. In one half of the sky the stars are blink, 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 blink. And on half the sky, blink, 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 the lightning is blinking. It was so beautiful place. And they're very happy to see Vaishnavas from all over the world there. It's one of the few places in Orissa where they're very happy. So we went a little bit over time. We tried to, in shortest time, we couldn't do justice to any of these personalities, but we tried. Parameswari Thakur, I don't know anything about him except that he's one associate of Lord Nityananda and one of the 12 Gopals who were Lord Nityananda's associates. Hare Krishna! Sri Gopalji Srinachi Bhagavan Aki! Divine grace to the Prabhupada who revealed all of these wonderful stories to us. Ki! Yeah.